The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode of Wrestling Night in Canada is dedicated to the memory of Del Wilkes and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special wonderful, wonderful, wonderful episode of Radio. Oh, geez,
That's another beer. It's a good thing you bought the case.
Another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada.
Yeah.
I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Justin Maruca.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Well, we're back. We're back in the Matt Cave.
Yes.
It's been a minute, over 30 episodes, but we're finally back.
But we are. We're here. It's so nice.
Yeah.
We're ready to rock and roll. I'm sure we sound a hell of a lot better than we have first.
We don't sound like robots anymore.
No, with no chance of robot voice. But that being said, got to thank Skype for the last year and a half of being able to do this.
Oh, for sure.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. For sure. But I'm still expecting my check in the mail from them for mentioning them so many times.
That's right.
You know, how unprofessional.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I really wouldn't worry about that. Yeah,
okay.
Where's our royalty checks from when they throw the robot voice at us?
I don't know, man. I'm surprised I haven't gotten a cease and desist from Black Sabbath for the robot voice.
There we are. And soon we're going to be hearing a fourth voice every once in a while for this particular episode. Because, guys, throughout all of this time, a name every kind of gets dropped every once in a while talking about watching the pay-per-views. We would hear words like Darren joined us, DJ was here, my dad, Ducky, you would say my dad all the time. Well, we have the good fortune of having Mr. Darren, having Mr. DJ, having Dad join us. Hey, dude, what's going on?
Not too much.
Papa Maruca.
I go by many names. Yeah.
There's the names you're given,
yeah.
And the then there's the names hear. You're given. Trust me.
They're usually pretty.
Yeah. Trust me. Yes, yeah. So we're totally stoked to have you join us because we're all getting together here in the Mad Cave in this beautiful Atomic 29 Studios because it's WWF.
It's Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. Yep. That's it. I wanted to say King of the Ring.
No,
that's a little wrong.
They didn't have a tournament for that this year. It was Shinsuke Nakamura decided. Yeah. Shinsuke just
Welcome
decided to
steal King of the
crown.
Shit, Money in the Bank.
Oh, don't be like JR with his WWE Dynamite comments.
Oh, yeah.
You can't blame him for that, though. He worked for WWE for 30 years. Yeah.
Like,
don't give him shit for that.
Some people just need to get off the shit, too, when it comes to little things like that.
It was a little mistake. Right. I understand he was getting caught up in the moment. And how long? Yeah, again, how long did he work for the WWE?
For sure, 30 years.
Since
WrestleMania 9? Well,
I'm sure Vince got a good giggle out of that.
Probably, yeah. King was probably messaging
with
him.
He's not here, he's promoting me anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Lawler probably texted him. That was great.
Yeah.
It's like, I live in his head rent-free. You see that?
There's no oops to that at all.
And when the internet lights up, I just want to, come on, guys, kiss a girl. Get a life. You know? Crying out loud.
No, that's the PC-ness of the whole freaking thing now.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're down here. We're doing this. We're sounding great. We're looking good. We're having a bunch of brewskis.
We're drinking.
Yep.
Which
air conditioning? It's lovely.
The air conditioning.
It's 38 outside, but who fucking cares?
Which I'm kind of glad that I mentioned brewskis and all that because I'm finally to start us off. I just paid off an old debt here.
Oh yeah.
To my cohorts, we had this ongoing tradition here on the show where because hosting two shows here on the Shining Wizards Network, if I accidentally was to say Radioactive Metal instead of Wrestling Night in Canada, I would have to buy you guys a beer.
Well, technically you haven't paid it off yet.
Yeah,
at the beginning,
and you just
we're just on beer number one.
And I just
here,
and like, I just said it again to start this show off. And
yeah,
of course,
so what's the toll at five now? Five for each.
That's something.
Four
like
or five.
That.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's.
I just bought a case and brought it over. Well, and yeah.
good
just,
thing
just,
you brought
just
the jack.
Go nuts.
Just,
yeah.
just take the whole case.
That's yeah. right. just buy now.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. For sure. So I'm glad. So now that we've kind of got everything up to speed, thank you everyone for tuning in and
yeah.
listening to us and hearing us very hell of a lot better now, I should say.
Yeah.
We should probably just kind of jump right into things a little later on. Unfortunately, the Turnbuckle Talk, we lost one of the all-time greats in Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So I thought maybe we would dedicate a little bit of time, you know, in the Turnbuckle Talk to talk all things wonderful, but we got a myriad of a whole whack of other and wacka. That's an
wacka.
Actual, that is an actual.
And don't forget, we also lost the Patriots.
Yeah. We did. I was just about to get into that before we get off and running with all of this stuff. We also recently lost one Del Wilkes, known as the Patriot. He has actually been out of the mainstream wrestling spotlight for a while.
He's
but
still
I guess,
done indie shows all over.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was wrestling basically up until he died.
Oh, wow. Wow. See,
like,
I
he's
never
done,
really
like,
knew that.
He's been on the GTS wrestling channel I watch on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
He actually did a no-ring show with Cass once.
Really? Really? So. That's fantastic. Wow. I guess he's best noted for his feud in the WWF with Bret Hart.
Yep.
As well as the Patriot.
Yeah, it was a world title feud, was it not?
I think he was. Well, it was definitely Canada versus the U.S.
Yeah, that was the whole, like,
right.
the basis of the feud.
Because, because you know, the Patriot, just going by the moniker, he was USA, USA. And Bret Hart was so good at just raising the ire of wrestling fans in the U.S. And he did nothing but tell the truth and give his opinion. Like, Hart's work on the mic was so good at that point because he really wasn't cutting a promo.
No. Well, that's all the best heels do cut the best promos by telling the truth, essentially. That's what I've noticed over the years. That it's like they tell the truth, but they do it in such an assholeish way that you're just like, we right. know, but hey.
yeah, you don't got to say it.
Yeah. For example, like, I think some of the best promo work now is MJF. Got to be.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. For sure. And you know MJF has seen more than one Bret Hart clip over the years.
Oh, yeah.
The first time I discovered Del Wilkes was the very first time, like when he showed up in the AWA.
Okay.
He was the trooper, where he had the gimmick of a state trooper, and he would pin a jobber, and he would write him out a ticket. And all that. And
he didn't come out to the Iron Maiden song, did he?
No. No. See, that would have been off the hook.
I was just about to say,
that
now I have
amazing.
The trooper in my head.
That would have been fantastic. Okay. The trooper and DJ Peterson were the very last AWA World Tag Team Champions.
Really?
Right before they kind of dissolved. And then he adopted the Patriot gimmick, went to WCW. Teamed with Buff Bagwell, Stars and Stripes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And all that.
He was still Marcus Bagwell at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. Which, it worked. It got over.
Which his life over. Is going down the shitter, unfortunately.
Oh, have you seen his more recent cameo videos where he was on painkillers? That's tough to watch.
I think we could get an entire episode of just stuff about the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy jeez. Yeah. So he actually had quite a storied career that we don't always, it always doesn't come to the forefront when you talk about the Patriot or Del Wilkes.
Fuck, Snowy, come on.
He also had Kurt Angle's music before it was Kurt Angle's music, I believe. Like the music he came out to in the WWF.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I believe that was what would become Kurt Angle's music.
Right. The whole You Suck.
You Suck. You Suck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really unfortunate. And that was one, like, we knew with Paul Orndorff that he was ill and the wrestling world kind of knew, okay, yeah, he's probably doesn't got too much time left. Wilkes came out of the blue.
How long has he been out of the picture, though?
Orndorff?
Yeah. It's been a while.
But he was also, yeah, like, oh, he was only in his 70s. Like
71.
Yeah, he wasn't even that old.
Well, like, the last time, really, I heard stuff about Orndorff before everyone's, like, before he got sick and everything. So I think it was, say, 3 years ago now, he came through with CWE. He did a thing.
Okay.
Where he was, like, a special ref or a manager for one match or something. Well, so he was here a couple of years ago.
Right on. So obviously now, sorry, we missed that. So once again, our condolences, Radioactive. Ah, did it again.
Another beer.
Did it again.
Another beer.
Just hand over the case, yeah, man.
Yes. That's what
yes.
I said.
Yeah. Radioactive metal.
Wrestling
Night in Canada extends our condolences to the Wilkes family.
We shouldn't be laughing over what you're saying right now.
Well,
that's,
I know. I'm sure Dell would appreciate all that we're saying, regardless of how we are. But Mr. Matt, you kind of have this episode formatted and all that, whatever fancy word you want to use. So I'm just going to tell the turnbuckle talk. I'm just going to flip it over to you.
Okay. Well, as we all are back here in the studio now, like that's like light at the end. There's light at the end of the tunnel in this whole Carino situation, as we all know. So and in conjunction with that, we also have wrestling returning to the road, which is super exciting because we've seen pretty much the exact same backgrounds and scenery on every show for the past 16 months now, whether it be AEW, WWE, Impact, what have you. It's all been pretty, for lack of a better term, a little bit stale. But seeing actual crowds there and hearing real crowd reactions now, getting back on the road, like it's, things are starting to get back to something that resumes normalcy. And it's actually like really exciting to see, I gotta say. Like, whether, like, hopefully it doesn't spike another wave. Like, that's the worst case Ontario, as Ricky from Trailer Park Boys would say. But no, it's like the last couple episodes of Dynamite that we've watched, hearing, like, particularly the AEW crowd, because you know how much they get into it. Yeah, hearing that was, like, really added a little something to the show. And even like, the first bit of the most recent episode of SmackDown this past Friday, hearing like an actual crowd reaction for aside from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But actually like hearing like a full arena full of people like cheering, like popping for Edge and the heel Roman
booing
Reigns.
Booing the shit out of Roman.
Yeah. Like still. So nothing's changed there. No. They just have an excuse to boo him now. It's a very refreshing change, but I do have to say the WWE product that we've gotten on SmackDown kind of just seemed like another Thunderdome show, and if they keep that up, then the nostalgia of the fans might wear off a little bit, so I'm hoping they have something in the bag saved for tonight.
At least.
Like,
at least SmackDown's been way better than Raw lately.
Well,
Raw's just been a bag of shit.
Well, a bag of shit is, or a wet carrot is more interesting than Raw.
The best thing going on Raw recently has been Orton and Riddle.
Yeah.
And exactly. Orton's been off TV for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Do you know anything? What's up with that? No? Okay.
No.
Yeah. Nobody seems to know what's up with that, but whatever. Yeah. It's like, that's been the most entertaining thing about Raw has been a comedy skit between Randy Orton. It's just another one of those odd couple tag teams, right? I guess. Like, the goofy guy and the overly serious guy just like paired together, and it's like,
try to make this work.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you got the two real life stoners in the tag team. So.
Oh yeah, I guess Randy Orton does enjoy a little herbal influence, doesn't he? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool by me, you know. And Randy Orton's also a metalhead. Really likes Metallica and Megadeth and Pantera. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. It's always good. Yep. With the live show and like them going on tour and all that, do you think, okay, all the shows are going to be packed, everyone is going to be stoked, do you think it'll continue to be packed and everyone will be excited a year from now?
A year from now, that's hard to say, but for like at least until the end of this year for sure. Cause like everyone's been cooped up in their homes. Everyone wants to get out. Like,
been gone for a year and a half.
Aside from the fact that WWE hasn't really been delivering the best product up until the pandemic, like the reason like a lot of people, I'm assuming, weren't going to shows because like they would go to so many of these cities so often, everyone was just like, I'll get it next time. I'll get it next time.
They'll be back in 4 months.
Yeah, as opposed to when they came to Winnipeg last year, that was the first time the televised event had been here in like, since 2004? So that's why it sold out so quickly.
Yeah.
When some bigger bands tour, if they're coming to your town every freaking year, you know, how many times are you going to see the same show?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like every time it's like, we're in Tampa. Oh, now we're in New York. Or now we're here. Like you hear the same arenas being announced like almost on a bi-monthly basis.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that crowd's not going to sell out because they can see it in another 3 or 4 months from now.
Or they were just here last month.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll... depending on the quality of the product, and that's going to be the main thing behind whether or not crowds will continue to show up. But I think for the time being right now, everyone's so sick of being at home that they're going to be like, nope, I got to go to an arena.
It's like the same thing with concerts now, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They just want to go out and buy the merch so they don't have to freaking order it.
Yeah, like the Propagandi show, that's sold out, obviously, already, right? Yeah, so that's...
Like 30 seconds.
Yeah, they always sell it in 30 seconds in Winnipeg, though. Yeah. So that's no surprise.
No matter how big the venue.
Yeah, I know they could probably sell out the Winnipeg...
Burt, easy.
The Burt,
The Burt Cummings Theater, which holds...
15?
15?
I thought
it was 2,500.
No, it's
15. Wow. Is it? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, but...
it's like, I think, I want to say 1,000 for the floor and then 250 for one level and 250 for
the other. Okay. Well, I almost called it the Winnipeg Arena or whatever it's called, the MTS Center or the Bell MTS or the Canada Life Center. Is that what it's called now?
I mean, that's a way better name than the Bell MTS Center.
It is, but at the same time, I call it the arena. I've always called it the arena.
So will I. Like any city.
Yeah. It's like, where are they playing? Downtown.
The arena.
Downtown at the arena. Yeah. At, you know.
But it's like
Snowy and I was saying earlier that the Burt will always be the Walker.
Right.
I hate calling it the Burt, and it's been that for 20 years almost?
It's been quite a while where,
before they renamed it the Burton Cummings Theater, I always called the Albert the Burt. For sure.
Well, I guess that makes sense. I guess
the Albert, the Bird.
How excited would the three of you guys be because it's hasn't been any live major league wrestling, for the lack of a better word, and all that. How excited would you guys be for the WWF to come to Winnipeg?
Well, if we get another house show, I'm going. I don't care.
Yeah, I would be excited for an episode of SmackDown to come here because Raw was here last time and I was there because I was just like, well, it's a televised episode of wrestling. I've never been to one of those before. So I took the opportunity and I went. I had pretty good seats and they weren't super expensive. So it wasn't the best episode of Raw, but it was nevertheless, it was interesting to see like what goes on during commercial breaks, how the lights actually dim a little bit.
Right.
And
then they kind of just stand there.
Yeah. Or like, when a wrestler makes his entrance and then they cut to a commercial and then they're playing like advertisements. Like, not necessarily the commercials you see on TV, but they're playing like WWE advertisements on the Tron while the wrestler is in the ring, like still like warming up and doing stretches while the lights are all dimmed.
Kind of just like, okay, break, stretch.
Yep. And like, it was funny though, even sitting in the crowd and like seeing someone do a suicide dive, and I just went, and commercial. And then the lights would dim.
Right? Suicide dive, the guy gets up, taunts, it's like 3, 2, yep.
But yeah, I would absolutely go to a live or televised WWE event if it came here, because I'm sure the crowd here would just be as excited as anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What we need is an AEW here.
Oh, that was boy. My next question. I guess it's a foregone conclusion. Impact, Ring of Honor, AEW.
AEW would sell out immediately here, I think.
Well, I mean, look who their two of their top guys are. They have three big names, Jericho, all from Winnipeg.
Omega,
like Callis, like they're... Yeah, like three guys all very much a part of like the main event scene or the upper mid card scene in AEW are all from Winnipeg. So I guarantee
it'd be disappointing if they didn't come here.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they would come.
They should come just because of that.
I don't think they would come to the arena, though, because I don't have any confirmation on this, but I did hear a rumor that when Raw had come here, apparently True North Entertainment had signed a deal with the WWE that would keep AEW out of the.
Oh, God, is Vince still doing that shit?
I think so, yeah.
So he doesn't want anyone performing in the same building as him.
No, so if we have a smaller arena around.
Vince, you're a dick.
Like, well, what about where the. At the University of Manitoba, where the Bison play, the basketball.
The Max Bell Center?
Oh, the yeah. gym there?
Yeah, yeah, the gym. That's big enough to host an AEW yeah. event, do you think? Because, like, the.
That room holds.
You think it can hold, like, 5,000-6,000 people?
4 or 5 for sure.
Yeah, because, like, the. When
I saw a skillet there and it was packed.
Okay. Yeah,
last time I was there.
The last episode of AEW I know was in Texas. They were in, like, a small arena that only had, like, the lower bowl, it had no upper decks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only like 7,000 people, but it still looked like a packed house, and it sounded like a packed house. Mm-hmm. So,
well, what they would have to do is, because it's like it's one whole giant ass thing of bleachers, and then the other room, the other side is just the wall.
Oh, right.
So they would have to film it one way, but it's like 4,000 or 5,000.
Mm-hmm. And then you would have the people on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be done.
Probably 55.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, and yeah. I can see them selling out. And it's we would also be there. We would also draw, if we were the only town, because of Jericho, because of Omega, because of Callis, if we were the only Canadian date for AEW, I think like AEW is it draws fans from all over.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're able to. For All Out and all that. That's how they're able to fill this.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's and basically like the first ever AEW show was like a sellout.
I'd be worried for like promoting that. You know, you get a company that big and, oh, awesome. They're coming. Where are they going to be? Oh, U of M. Really? Never mind.
Yeah. Because you'll have that initial reaction from Joe and Jane Average, because if it's not at the big stadium or the big arena, then. Yeah. Because we see that with music as well. Well, this band can't be very good. They're not playing to 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Well, art is subjective, yeah. Karen. Like,
where are they playing? The Park Theater?
Yeah.
Like, where's like, oh, if they're so good, how come I've never heard of them? It's like, gee, well, I don't know.
I don't know, because you get your head up your ass.
Maybe check your fucking ego.
A small indie show at the park would be cool, though. You could just set the ring up on the stage. Because the floor is like this.
Oh, yeah, it's angled, so you can't like, put it on the floor.
Can't put a ring on the floor.
Yeah, I'm sure there's got to be a venue somewhere in the city where we could do something. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm.
I hope they. Yeah. Well, I know it's going to be rescheduled, but that Time Bomb show with the daughter.
Oh yeah,
the No Ring Deathmatch show.
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
That I've had tickets for over a year.
His daughter.
Yeah.
That's a handsome daughter.
Handsome daughter. 100. Yeah.
You 100.
Just don't get glass in the chicken. Because I don't want a magic bird to get a.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
So I guess we're kind of stoked for this pay per view. For at the very least, there's going to be.
Yeah, as we're speaking, so it's going to be 14,000 again.
Yep. Cool. Okay, what's next on your agenda, Mr. Matt?
Well, speaking of we're talking about AEW. I wanted to talk about the debut of one of my personal favorite wrestlers that was recently released from WWE that we talked about on was it the last episode or probably an episode before that? I don't know. I've lost track.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, during lockdown, it's just like it all just seems like one big blur.
Oh,
like,
geez. Yeah.
It's like I've said many times, the last year and a half has felt simultaneously like a month and a decade all at once.
Mm-hmm. Like, for sure.
Yeah. But like one of my favorite wrestlers in the WWE was Aleister Black, and I didn't like how he was being used on the main roster, like a lot of people that I like. But I really liked his work in NXT, and I saw the potential in him. And when he got released, I was like, well, now he can go somewhere else and be used properly. I didn't expect him to show up in AEW after only a month.
A month? Yeah. How did they drop the ball on
They did. Yeah, WWE dropped the ball because when he was called up from NXT to the main roster, they forgot to update his non-compete clause from 30 days to 90 days. So it was egg on their face for forgetting to do this thing. And then I guess Aleister Black or Tommy End or Malachi Black, as he's now known, whatever you want to call him. He took full advantage of that. And just 34 days after his release, shows up on Dynamite and gives I'm assuming the kick is still called the Black Mass. I don't think WWE owns the rights to that term.
I don't think so.
No. But shows up just on a rant or on the first episode of Dynamite back with a crowd and gives the Black Mass to Arn Anderson. Cody comes in, they stare down, gives the Black Mass to Cody. So And the pop that he got was absolutely unreal. Loved it. Loved every second of it. And I'm looking forward to where his character goes, but hope, fingers crossed, that this doesn't become another fuck yeah America feud with Cody Rhodes being involved.
But the thing is, his last name, well, he's Malakai Black now, so Cody can't really beat somebody in a feud with the last name Black.
Why is that?
Oh.
Because remember, Cody Rhodes beats racists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I'm still like, I hope they don't make this in like an America versus the evil foreigner feud.
Good versus evil feud.
Yeah. Because like this Malakai Black character that Tommy End has adopted now was apparently the character that he wanted to portray in WWE, where he's essentially like the devil who has amnesia. Like he's
okay.
Yeah. He's like this evil, evil man, but he doesn't know who he is, really. I think that was the basis of it. So, but the vignette that you shared on the group chat, where he was in that insane asylum, where he essentially was the arrival of Malakai Black that came on, was it the day or the day before?
The day of
when he debuted. And I was like, oh, well, that looks interesting. And then, yeah, sure enough, he pops up. And
I just love how when he kicked Arn was just dead.
Yeah. super kicking.
Cody fucking like... gets up right away and goes to help him, and Arn's just like, no, sell it properly, just die.
Yeah. I think the microphone sold that just as well as Arn did.
Yeah.
Just flipping through the air. But I'm happy that he's finally has a platform to show off like what his intended this art piece, I guess, that he wants to do, and like that he wouldn't have been able to do in WWE, or else it would have been severely tampered with. Like, as much as the Dark Father vignettes on SmackDown were intriguing to me right up until his debut attacking Big E, and then all of a sudden he's gone, this, I have a feeling, is going to be much better in the end than whatever WWE could have given us out of it. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, again, that non-compete clause, like, what an oversight. What an oversight. Like, that is nothing short of hilarious to me. Such a big company who's, like, so, like, micromanaged and, like, strict, forgetting to do something like that. And I was just like, man. But at the same time, I can't help it. I love it.
It's great.
And they actually forgot. Like, the funny thing about that, though, is that they initially thought that it was Buddy Murphy who had the 30-day non-compete clause. And they were, like, emailing him and saying, like, we actually forgot to update your non-compete clause. Do you want us to update it to 90 days? And like, cause they still get paid. So they have the option of like sitting around and still getting paid before they can go somewhere else. But yeah, they gave him the option to extend it. And Buddy was like, well, it says the initial letter that I got when I got released said it was 90 days. So I don't know what you're talking about. I think someone backstage at WWE thought, Black, Buddy, they both start with B. Easy to mix up.
Maybe it was that writer.
Yeah. Oh, Kanice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was her.
It was Bobby Ashley. Yeah.
Bobby Ashley or Bobby Lashley or whatever his name is. He's the champion, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
He does this thing called the Hurt Business, and they wear suits because they're cool.
They're cool. Because they're super cool, you know? But no, like, like I said, I'm excited to see where this feud goes, and I hope he wins. I don't want to see Cody beat another...
Cody put himself over again.
Yeah, I don't want to see him beat another newcomer like he did with Anthony Ogogo, but yeah, I guess we'll see. Yeah. But I'm excited. I'm excited for Tommy End, and...
Ogogo actually just had his 10th eye surgery, too.
10th?
Not too long ago.
Oh, jeez.
10th?
Yeah.
Well, because he's a boxer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. It was also the injury didn't help because Billy Gunn caused some of it too, apparently.
Oh.
Oh, jeez. Mm.
So Billy probably potatoed him at one point.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Well, I'm sure he'll be back and doing stuff.
He's got to give Billy that receipt.
Soon. Yeah, exactly. Got to give him the receipt. The receipt's coming, Billy.
Just the idea of them letting Aleister Black go was kind of surprising and mind-boggling. This guy is an amazing talent. Why would you just, whether it's 30 days or 90 days, why would you just hand a talent over
especially to the
competition?
Yeah. It's just funny that on WWE.com, you can still buy the new Aleister Black shirt. And then there's the AEW.
Well, what's
shirt.
That? He's not Aleister Black anymore.
But that shirt but they is still amazing.
But they still own the rights to the name.
Yeah, but
that
but
shirt is so
who wants
good.
It?
It's full on like black metal album art.
Yeah. That's well, he's got a Malachi Black shirt now that's come out that kind of looks similar to it, I think. So I think I'd rather spend my money on that.
That's Vince, though. You're out of here, but we're still going to sell your shit.
Well, yeah. that's exactly why Broken Matt Hardy was Woken Matt Hardy in WWE, because they needed something to stamp their mm-hmm. thing on that they could retain merchandise rights for after right. Matt Hardy has left the company.
Yeah, even though, like, Woken Matt is just, he tanked in the WWF. Like the
yeah, it wasn't meant for a big stage like that.
No, and it wasn't for their audience.
Nope. Like, it could have been great, but... It just didn't have, like, Vince didn't create it, so therefore it didn't get.
Yeah, they weren't putting 110 into it.
Nope.
And that's one of the things about pro wrestling. It's just like seeing a band on stage. As a fan, a veteran fan, you can tell when something isn't being put 110 into it.
Exactly.
And
you can tell when it's been corporate or sterilized or synthesized and sterilized. Yeah.
And broken down to
repackaged.
Whatever. Mm-hmm.
Painted lips on a hog, non-genuine.
yeah.
All that.
But I guess since my dad is here.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Now you're in trouble.
What's that?
How did you get into wrestling?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, you know.
but all
no
of our
shit,
listeners don't.
Yeah, we know. But
we know.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I know this or not.
Back in the, I guess I could say back in the day. Like,
yeah, you're old enough.
Early 80s, I guess, when the ex-wife and I first started dating, she was actually into it more than I was.
Okay,
because of her family and her grandpa, we used to watch the old AWA and stuff like that. So she was
of course
she was kind of more into it, and we'd watch it once in a while. Wouldn't get terribly involved, but then we had this guy sitting over here.
Then he came into the world.
We sat him down in front of the TV when he was like 6 months old when wrestling was on, and that was it.
And
the rest is history.
And here are we now. Here we are now.
The rest is history, and all you got to do is talk to him and know.
Yep.
But that's pretty much it. I'm not into it as much right now. Probably just the fact that I unfortunately have no TV in the house.
Okay.
So I'm a little behind what's going on now.
We come here. But,
We come here to watch wrestling.
I was pretty into it for a lot of years.
That's cool. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. That's the same thing with me. AWA 1979.
Yeah.
Same territory.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. So yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Cool. So, Mr. Matt, what's up next?
Well, I wanted to touch on the recent Jimmy Uso situation in WWE.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Arrested again.
Yep, for the third time in 3 years, he got a DUI.
I thought it was the second time.
No, I think it was the third time.
It's when it's more than once, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's really,
although,
because...
I do remember the last time before this when he got arrested for a DUI, the Usos were cutting a promo... backstage, and I think Jey Uso said the lines, "Uber's outside, don't drink and drive," and then just looks over at Jimmy like this.
Wow.
So, yeah,
let him go. Don't care what Roman says.
Yeah. Well, no, obviously the guy's got some problems, and I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Well, at least, yeah.
But he's a very talented...
Give him some time off.
You know, he's a very talented wrestler and very good on the mic. One of the best mic workers the WWE have right now. Like, when him and his brother get together and start cutting promos, it's probably one of the most entertaining parts of the show that they're on.
Okay.
It's just, it sucks when you hear that someone that you appreciate their work is, you find this stuff out about them and then it's a repeat offense. Like,
well, right. He is married to Naomi.
Right.
Well, what does that have to do with it?
Everything.
What are you saying?
okay.
Watch Total Divas. You'll know.
Maybe she knows how to drive. If he's married, maybe the wife knows how to drive.
Yeah, she knows how to drive.
She can go pick him up.
Later. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now, I will not watch Total Divas.
Yeah, never. I've never seen a single frame.
Dad,
you should. You'd be amazed.
No.
Well, Dad, you were watching it for a while, and Naomi is...
Unfortunately, I got into that for a while.
Road rage.
It runs.
Well,
in
there
the
was one episode where a car cut her off, and she went to drag the girl out of the car.
Wow.
Let's just
and you can
Naomi
tell
it wasn't
isn't that considered aggravated assault?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just say Naomi's character is Naomi. She's like that.
Well, that's those are the best characters. Yeah. It's just an extension of the real
person. I guess,
what a
yeah.
What a piece of work that chick is. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. But so far, it seems that there has been zero repercussions given to him.
Apparently, the storyline right now with Roman is too important.
Yeah. Well, it is the biggest storyline on SmackDown. It's the main event story on SmackDown. But and tonight, they're during the Money in the Bank kickoff show, it's the Usos versus the Mysterios for the SmackDown tag titles. And I just have a feeling that the Usos are going to win those tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to happen. So, like, what message does this send to the rest of the locker room, though? That, or it just, like, if you have a good bloodline, so, you don't get punished for anything.
So Vince will catch Matt Riddle smoking. Oh, you're suspended for 6 months.
Yeah.
But what about Jimmy?
Like, what about Jimmy?
Right?
I didn't catch him smoking.
Oh, he's related to Roman. He's fine.
That's right.
Yeah. It was like I said earlier outside. Rob Van Dam's situation was, I was once a double champ, but then I got high. But yeah,
at the very least, the guy shouldn't, like, your license done, at the very least, and all that. I understand people, when you're young and dumb, you make mistakes. We know people that have been pinched with the DUI and all that, and they haven't done it again, and they're still paying for it now. But when you do it a second time or a time after that, I honestly believe time number two, you don't need to drive anymore. You're done. Like, for life.
Yeah. Or at least, you know. Yeah. Like, stop giving this man access to alcohol.
You know, because it's like.
At least for a decent amount of time.
And he was in his own town. He was in his own hometown. I think the guy makes enough money that he could call a cab. You know, or anything. He can get his wife to come pick him up. God only knows. Mrs. Snowy's picked me up from God only knows where.
He doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want her to know that.
Or as Jey Uso said in the promo, Uber's outside, don't drink and drive.
There you go.
How hard is it to pick up your phone and go, okay, I'm sure he's got a good enough fucking credit card that he can order an Uber. Like, yeah. Fuck.
Right.
Listen to your brother, you idiot.
Yeah. You stupid idiot.
No,
I mean, I'm sure Roman ripped him a new one after that.
Honestly, I was half expecting him to be taken off TV and, like, Roman would be like, how can you shame our family? Yeah. Don't you know what this means?
Oh, yeah.
If they wrote him off with
it. Put it right into the storyline.
Mm-hmm. If they wrote him off with, like, an injury for a month.
I thought at least, if they didn't do that, I thought he was going to get, like, the Triple H post-curtain call incident treatment.
Yeah.
But look where Triple H is now.
Yeah. Roman could just be like, how could you? Why would you do this to us? Yeah. You're a disappointment. And then turns around and Jey super kicks him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just beat him down and, like, injure him. Kayfabe injure
him
for
TV for a while.
A few months, yeah.
Are you ready to turn Roman, though? You're not ready to turn Roman yet, I wouldn't imagine.
Oh, no. Roman would still be the heel, obviously. Yeah. Like, it would just be Jey and Roman teaming up and beating down Jimmy, writing Jimmy off so he sits out his suspension, and then instead of making the Usos the tag champs, make Jey the Intercontinental Champion or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and then when Jimmy comes back, have Jimmy and Jey feud over that.
Yeah, that would be a good match.
Yeah,
yeah, Uso versus Uso for the Intercontinental title. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah,
haven't they done something like that before already?
Well, the brother versus brother thing has been done to death in professional wrestling as a whole, anyway. But
right,
but the Usos. Like,
that'd be a very good match.
Yeah, I do think
you could give them half an hour and just go.
Yeah, I may get shit for this, but I think the Usos are better wrestlers than the Hardys. Maybe right now.
Yeah, you know, I could see that. I can see that because
Hardys are worn out.
They're
in their mid 40s.
Exactly, good reason.
Like, yeah. Matt Hardy's in his mid 40s, just had his fourth child, and I think at one point he said his tailbone was fusing to his pelvis or something.
Yeah.
Their time is short-lived.
Yeah. Him and Rebby are pumping the kid out like every year, it seems. I think Maxwell, their oldest one, is like 4 or 5 years old. Yeah. Only, so.
Holy jeez.
I remember him just being
Jeff
like,
is losing more matches than winning, though.
Well, he's barely on TV. Yeah.
Wow.
I think they're pretty much done. They're trying to hang on to them for all they're worth.
Well, they're trying to hang on to Jeff because they don't want him to jump to AEW to team with Matt before they retire.
Yeah, well, Matt's kind of only like semi retired right now because he's like, well, he's got the whole Hardy Family Office thing going on. And
he's more of a manager now.
Yeah, he did wrestle Christian on.
That was a good match.
Yeah, on Dynamite.
Their first match one on one since 2003.
Yeah, seeing Christian versus Matt Hardy with JR calling it on commentary. That was a bit of a nostalgia trip.
Yeah.
That was WrestleMania 17 style nostalgia right there.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. But yeah, that I just.
Seeing Christian like crossbody off the top of the floor was just like, dude, no, oh, you're going to break something.
You guys are in your 40s. Your joints aren't the same as they were at WrestleMania.
I can do this one more time. Yeah.
Like I might not get up, but I can do this one more time.
Yeah, it's like 20 years ago, this was no problem for you guys. It was like a bad day in bed, and then you walk it off the next day. Nowadays, your joints don't recover so good.
No,
you're going to stand up, and your knees are going to sound like an ice cube tray.
Just getting out of bed
My knees have sounded like an ice cube tray since I got hit by a car. Oh, so. Okay.
Well... I don't think Christian Cage or Matt Hardy have ever been hit by a car that I know of, but
The TLC matches was probably like getting hit by a car.
Well, I mean
for Jeff anyway.
Yeah. Or being pushed off of a ladder through a stack of tables, I imagine can't be any fun either. So Or being speared off of a ladder while you're hanging from the belt.
I don't care how properly you land that, it's still gonna suck.
It's still gonna suck.
Yeah.
Especially with WWE, the tables they use now. Fucking like paper.
The balsa wood tables.
Yeah. Yeah.
They pull them out from under the ring too quick and they crack.
And they snap in half.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm like at the end of the day, like I'm not sure what message this sends to the or I guess it is the message is actually pretty obvious. It's like if you have a good bloodline, you can do stupid shit and not get punished.
Oh,
like,
Roman's our top guy. Jay got arrested. Nice, fine.
No, Jimmy. It was Jimmy.
One of them.
No.
One.
Which one are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're twins. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
But you get that in any sort of profession where it's like, okay, you're like, we've all worked with that guy. Okay. That who's a total asshole. He shows up at work and you don't know.
I've worked with too many.
What kind
I
of
still
asshole
work with too many.
He's going to be, but because he's in good with the boss or the supervisor or something. And you know, like there's, that it's gonna happen.
It's gonna, yeah.
You know, and that's too bad. And you're absolutely right. It sends the wrong message, not only to the rest of the locker, but for fans as well.
Yeah, and if anything, it just enables Jimmy to do this again in the
future. Do it again, yeah. Because there's
no repercussions.
Yeah, like you know.
Yeah, he's just gonna walk around going whatever. Didn't happen last time. I'll be fine.
Right. But we just talked about, if they did that Roman Jay turn on him thing, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, I agree with you. But who knows? Maybe Jay will turn on Jimmy tonight.
Jimmy gets pinned.
Yeah, Jimmy gets pinned by Dominic. And then he's like, how can you shame us like this?
And then they just beat the shit out of him.
Quick, email Vince.
Yeah, it's like, how are we supposed to go home and face our family?
Or they go to the back, and then Roman goes, I'm disappointed in you. And then just looks at Jay and goes, get him.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is kind of turning into Vin Diesel from from Fast and the Furious.
It's all about family. There we are. So
do you see that T-Rex over there? Yeah, it's strong, but not as strong as family.
Not as strong as family.
Those memes are great. I'm not going to lie. Those are fantastic.
Right on.
It's all about family. I like making fun of Vin Diesel. I'm sorry.
Hey, Why not?
He's like, how many of these movies have we done so far? The Fast and the Furious movies?
Too many?
Too damn many. Yeah, too goddamn many. Yeah.
Yeah.
After Paul died, that should have stopped it.
Yeah. I like how it's like, he's like, I'm all about family. And then John Cena shows up. Oh, by the way, this is my brother from that you've never heard of before.
Right? This is my brother who you can't see.
Yeah, you can't see. You can't see him. He's my family. Yeah. As far as what's going on in current wrestling, that's really all I got. So,
basically.
Yeah, that's.
We got Cage and Cardona on the indies in a few weeks.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be exciting for you, I'm sure. Like, you can't wait to see some blood being spilled and some careers being shortened.
I don't think Cardona knows what he's gotten himself into.
I don't think so either.
Okay, you're talking Brian Cage?
Nick Cage.
Yeah. Oh no, I thought you said Cage.
Gage.
Okay, kind of set us up for that. What's happening?
So we're gonna watch Cardona, Zack Ryder, die next weekend.
Pretty much.
Basically. Okay.
For what league is this?
Game Changer Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
GC Dub.
Well, we talked about it briefly a few episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
Where Cardona showed up and like acted like Mox in a druid costume.
Yeah.
And double arm DDT'd Gage and then unmasked himself and it was Cardona.
Everyone was booing him and throwing stuff at him.
Everyone was chanting, fuck Zack Ryder.
And he was just walking through the crowd like with his arms stretched out, like embracing all of it, acting like everyone's praising him. But
he was supposed to be in the ring a while longer, but he got a tiny chunk cut out of his arm, like near his wrist.
Oh.
And he was freaking out.
Yeah, that can be dangerous.
So that's why he went to the back quick.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, I got this severe injury. It's like, buddy, it was here.
Yeah, he can use it to play up to the character, I guess, that he's trying to portray right
now.
But he's portraying a completely different character than he is in Impact right now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, like, so I never understood that when you're playing two different characters in two different wrestling companies at the same time.
How can you change?
I don't know.
Impact,
you're supposed
he's the good
to
guy,
be the same guy.
GCW, yeah. He's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's. Okay, that works if you're Bret Hart in Canada.
Or Lance Storm.
Yeah, you know, you're the face in Canada, you're the heel in the U.S.
Bizarro world, yeah, depending
right.
where you are. Yeah.
But you can't be, and I'm gonna go corny on you guys here, but you can't be a face in one federation and a heel in another because, you know, once again, that's exposing the business and it just... How can you believe the character then? You can't.
No, that was the same thing that John Morrison was doing when he was in Impact.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a babyface, and when he was in Lucha Underground, he was a heel.
Yep.
At the same time. Well, he's like different names. He was Johnny Impact in Impact Wrestling. And he was Johnny Mundo in Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But essentially, it's still it's John Hennigan, and it's like
wouldn't it depend on who watches what? How many people are actually going to know that these two guys are the same guy?
Yeah, but then they did an episode of Impact in Mexico, and he came out, and they were all booing him, because everybody in Mexico knows that he's Johnny Mundo, and he's, like, this despicable heel. But, yeah, I don't know.
It's still people that don't know Prince Puma was Ricochet.
There's people who don't know that?
Well, that's somewhat understandable.
Those people are dumb.
Because
the tattoos! Come on!
Yeah, but still.
But he didn't play Ricochet and Prince Puma at the same time, though, did he?
Yeah.
He did?
PWG.
Oh, right.
Because he wore the Prince Puma tights one night, and his opponent was like, I recognize those pants. And Ricochet's like, no.
No, you don't.
No, these are new. I just got these, like, today.
It's like, Prince Puma let me borrow them.
But Puma does wear the mask.
Yeah.
So,
but, like, you can tell with the tattoo, it's like, it's Ricochet.
But everyone's tatted these days, you know? It's not like
it's like going back. You know? I was watching an old Ricochet match last night from 2005. He's got like the long hair.
Oh yeah, you said
like the shorts, like the giant kick pads. It's like mm-hmm. Ricochet. Is that you? And he used to wrestle for like CZW and IWA.
Last night I was watching Slammiversary and Don Cal, which we'll get to next episode. But Callis came out. He name dropped Game Changer.
Yeah.
Nice. I couldn't believe that. I was so surprised. And it's like, of course, he went on about, you know, how they're a garbage promotion and they do garbage wrestling and all that.
Still mentioning them by name, though.
Yeah. They actually name dropped them.
That gets people who don't know who Game Changer is to search them up.
It would help.
If a heel buries something, it makes people want to check it out.
Want to do it. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And when he pulled Kenny's the king of the death match. He's tougher than Gage. It's
I kind of marked out for that. Okay. As much as I don't dig your death match shit and all that, sober at least.
It was this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For them to do that, props to him.
It was the same thing when Lawler used to call ECW extremely crappy wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the same idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like when he showed like that episode of ECW, he showed up with Van Damme when Van Damme was with WWF for a while.
Oh, in 97.
And they beat the shit out of everybody. And
right.
He was like, this place is nothing but a toilet bowl. It's just shit.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
And then Taz choked him out and it was great.
Oh, right. No doubt about it, Cole.
Right on. Well, if you're, you know, everything on your itinerary has been covered, I guess maybe it's time to
anything before anything you want to talk about, Dad?
He's just kind of here to
he's giving us his veteran expertise. He's our color man.
He's our fourth horseman. Right? He's our fourth horseman of the day.
That's right. That's right. You will
I just didn't bring my beer assistant.
Yeah. He'll actually be able to chime in on tonight's Turnbuckle Talk. Because as we mentioned at the top of the hop, we lost a very prominent figure within the pro wrestling world in one Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Mm-hmm. Named Mr. Wonderful by, I believe it was Roddy Piper that called him that.
I think so. My experience with Wonderful goes back to the beginning of the WWF expansion, right at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Like the WWF had started expanding and all that before Mania, but fans seem to correlate Mania to the expansion because that's when it really kicked in the mainstream attention.
Right, right.
And Orndorff was right in the thick of things in the main event of the very first WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
It was Hogan and Clubber Lang, Mr. T, versus Roddy Piper.
At least he didn't go with the name Colossal Tussle.
yeah. That's always.
Oh, Dad, you know that. Right?
That's always funny.
Vince's original idea for the name for WrestleMania
was the Colossal Tussle. Yeah.
Did you imagine we'd be on the Colossal Tussle 38?
Yeah. God, that didn't stick.
The greatest show of them all, the Colossal Tussle.
And it just goes to show that as great as your heel is, if he doesn't have the opponent, we all love Luke Skywalker. Imagine if there was no Darth Vader.
Oh, you need Darth
Batman
Vader.
If there was no Joker.
Yeah, you need it.
You know, Hogan, if there was no Roddy Piper, if there was no Paul Orndorff, this would be a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think Hogan's opponents don't get the credit. You know, kind of that.
No, it's because it's Hogan.
Yeah, because it's Hogan. Yeah, because
it's Hogan.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it was.
Yeah. So,
who am I fighting? Okay, I'm going over. Wait, brother.
Who? Yeah, there we are. Who, I imagine you discovered Mr. Wonderful probably about the same time I did. We would have the same story.
Probably.
Right.
Like, I don't have a lot of kind of fond memories about him, but I knew he was up towards the top there for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you two guys?
Well, I do
the remember, Young Bucks here.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Well, the only thing I really
the Young Bucks. Oh fuck, we're gonna get super.
Yeah.
The Young Fucks.
The Young Bucks. But yeah, the only thing I really do remember about Paul Orndorff was obviously like, Roddy giving him his name, and then that actually got up over super well with the crowd, and his feud with Hulk Hogan in the WWF, but I do remember mentioning on a Turnbuckle Talk in the past that he would have made an excellent four horseman had he jumped to WCW sooner.
Back then.
Yep.
Back then in the 80s, for sure. When you mention Orndorff turning on Hogan, that's always going to probably be the moment that veteran fans will always remember, that episode of Superstars. And I remember it too. When the WWF, their syndicated program was Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was job matches, basically.
Yeah.
Except every once in a while to build a storyline because it was the money at the time, before there was such an emphasis on TV, it was all about the live gate.
Right.
So yeah. You would have to have something on TV to pull people in. And at the time, okay, Orndorff had turned face after WrestleMania and formed an allegiance with Hogan. The famous match leading up to it, though, Bobby Heenan, you know, who had fired Orndorff, mm-hmm. and all that because of the WrestleMania debacle and all that. It was supposed to be Orndorff and a partner against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy.
Right.
Part of the Heenan family.
Okay.
Well, on TV, you actually saw Orndorff trying to call Hogan. I want to talk to Hulk. Get him on the Hulk. Well, Hulk's busy and all that. And so, of course, you knew the plant was seeded. Something was going to happen there. It still shocked the world the next week when Hogan showed up as Orndorff's partner, mm-hmm. and they defeated Studd and Bundy. And then after that, Orndorff turned on him, gave him the big clothesline and the pile driver, and children all over the world cried and all that because people believed it back then.
Because and fuck that racist guy.
That's right. So,
yeah,
like that's something that Orndorff will always be known for. They never did get a WrestleMania match out of that.
No, that's a shame, too.
Definitely, because they switched gears to Hogan versus Andre for WrestleMania 3.
Because Andre was dying, unfortunately. Well,
yeah.
Well, he didn't die until like a couple of years after that.
93.
WrestleMania
5 was...
Was it 8 days before I was born or something? Something like that?
Yeah,
like,
was WrestleMania 5 or 6 was his last match?
Yeah, and WrestleMania 3 was like 87.
Yeah, I think so.
And all that. So yeah. Andre still had a lot of years
left. Like that WWE A&E thing they're doing, it's... When Vince was saying that Andre was dying during the filming of Princess Bride, and Andre had, he was fine with it. He's like, whatever. And then Vince was like, oh, do you want to work Hogan at Mania 3? So Vince built a giant hot tub, got a giant hot tub installed in his house with a shit ton of jets for Andre to train it to get his back to normal.
Okay.
And it's funny. In the documentary, they like Linda's talking. And Linda looks younger than she did 15 years ago.
Really?
Wow.
It's weird. Huh. Like, her hair's not gray anymore. She's, like, dyed it blonde and shit now.
Right.
But it's like, is that Linda? I don't know. It looks like Linda, but did Linda, like, find the fountain of youth or some shit? Like,
I think she found a few million dollars for plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll
but she doesn't
do
look
too.
Plastic. That's the thing.
She bought that DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Vince can probably afford really good surgeons.
Yeah.
He's got the money in the world.
I'm sure.
Vince is stupid rich. He can be like, make my wife look young.
Yeah. She's looking old and ragged. Well,
Vince looks like he's had some work done over the years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
Guarantee he tucks, or either there he tucks his jowls into his shirt collar.
Yeah. Like he said on SmackDown other night.
Where the hell have you been?
And then he just dropped the mic and left.
I mean,
the pop for Vince was so good, though.
At least it wasn't a 20-minute promo. If Vince McMahon had to come out and say anything, I'm glad it was just those six words, and then he just bowed out and walked.
Good,
back.
Yes. I'm all
it was
Vince
just like,
out.
Where the hell have you been? And then he dropped the mic and left, and people were like going nuts, and it's like, that's a Vince thing to do.
It's the funny thing, too, is that he actually, like, I wouldn't surprise me one bit if he was, like, legitimately confused about the whole thing. Just like, where the hell have you all been? What's been going on? Yeah.
There's too many people I have to leave.
He only missed the last year and a half.
He didn't
not a big
even
deal.
Notice.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
like, at least when he said that, he sounded a bit healthier than he has been. Because that Survivor Series, when Taker came out and did his retirement speech,
yeah.
and Vince talked for 10 minutes, it's like, oh,
that was bad.
Oh, no.
Anyway, let's get back on the topic here.
the Hogan-Orndorff thing, okay, they took that on the road. They took that angle on the road, and to this day, it's probably still one of the biggest gate receipts, you know, the biggest box office draw, just in terms of that, you know, because at one point, that's where... Like I said earlier, that's where the money was, you know, in the live show.
Mm-hmm.
So when they took Hogan and Orndorff, like all over the country, wow! Every night it was absolutely packed because Hogan had that villain and all that. So which when you think about it now, with the loss of Paul Orndorff, all of Hogan's
opponents from like 1 to 6
in the
are dead.
First 6 WrestleManias or whatever, they're all gone. Yeah. Orndorff, Piper.
I have the picture on
Andre,
my phone.
Andre, Savage, and the Ultimate Warrior. They're all gone. Now.
And out of all 7 of those people, including Hogan, the racist is the one.
The
that's
Hogan
still
alive. Is, yeah, you don't want to think in terms of this, but.
Well, I mean, Ultimate Warrior wasn't really that good of a person.
He wasn't
either,
a very
so.
Good person.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like. Here's all the photos here. It's Piper, Orndorff, Bundy, Andre, Macho Man,
Bundy,
Warrior.
Right, mm-hmm. WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah,
two.
King Kong Bundy, yeah, WrestleMania.
As well, yeah, yeah. Which was going to bring me to my next question. I don't think you guys would have ever seen Paul Orndorff live.
No.
I didn't go to that CWE show when he was here.
Did you ever see him live, Deej? No, neither did I, but post WrestleMania, was it? Yeah, post WrestleMania, when we started getting WWF cards here, when I would actually go to the WWF, that was one of the last times. Like, I think maybe WrestleMania was the last time I gave money to Vince outside of a few pay-per-views in the early 90s.
Mm. When they were $5. All that.
When, yeah.
Instead of 50, yeah.
You know.
80, what they are now.
Oh, the big five ones, or the big four, $80?
Well, Mania, Survivor Series, Rumble.
Yeah.
And SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, during that time, Orndorff had...
The only good ones.
Was part of, you know, when Winnipeg was regularly part of the WWF itinerary. And I remember seeing Wonderful then here live as well. WrestleMania 2, which I've talked about on the show.
That was the two-location WrestleMania, right?
That was, the three, and we saw it on closed-circuit TV in the old Winnipeg Arena.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think he was the curtain jerker with Don Morocco at the first location.
Hmm.
And wasn't the main event Hogan, Bundy, and a cage?
It was Hogan, Bundy, in a cage.
Steel cage.
Yeah.
The blue square climby thing.
I liked that steel cage a lot more than the chain link, the one that they have now. Like, I know the chain link one would be way harder to climb.
Yeah.
But
but throwing them into that blue shit looked like it sucked.
It did, yeah.
The chain link, it's like, bounce.
What do you think that was made out of? Like, wrought iron, probably? Painted wrought iron?
Yeah.
No, I never did like it. I never liked because being an old schooler, I prefer the cage that looks like a fence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I've always, and to this day, I've always preferred like
the original
that.
Cages.
Yeah. Like we saw when we were kids. Yeah.
Although that's I always thought original cages were the bars, not the chain link.
They
started with the chain link.
Okay. Yeah. I thought the chain link was a thing that they came after the bars. Because, like, I remember, like, up until, like, 1999, they were using the bars.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing is,
lately, when they started painting the frickin' thing red.
Oh, the cell.
Oh, the hell in a cell. Yeah.
It looks terrible red.
Hating
it's so annoying, especially on TV.
Well, the first time I saw the bars...
Good luck seeing through it.
Yeah.
First time I saw the bars was WrestleMania 2, because it was a way for Hogan to climb out of the ring.
Was it the first sort of bars that Elimination Chamber, with all the chains... That were like
no, that was always chains with the Elimination Chamber. That was like 2 miles of chain and a bunch of steel beams.
The last cage match with bars I still remember is Bret and Owen.
No, that was Vince versus Austin St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, but that's the last one I really remember. Oh, Bret and Owen. Okay. It was like 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And Wonderful.
Oh, the Austin. Vince won. Oh, where Vince took that terrible announce table bump and everyone thought he broke his back.
Where the Big Show debuted.
When he threw Austin through it? Yeah.
No, when Austin threw McMahon through the... Big Show threw Austin through the cage, and caused him to win. That one was bars, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That was the last time I remembered seeing bars, and then everything after that was chain link. But anyway.
Yeah, with post-WWF, you know, the Wonderful went on to WCW, had his success in some tag teams. Buff Bagwell, I think they were Pretty Wonderful or
Pretty Wonderful. When WCW came here, was Orndorff here?
I honestly don't remember.
Because I remember the main event was supposed, I think it was supposed to be Hogan and someone. And then it was like Luger and Vicious.
Of course, Hogan wouldn't work a house show.
Yeah. Because it was like advertised Hogan and somebody for the WCW title, and then it was like as
subject to change.
In the middle of the show, it's like, well, Hogan's not here.
Yeah.
And then the place went, what the fuck?
Well, like that time, I think it was the last time I saw them when the big draw for the show here was Cena. And then last minute,
Cena wasn't
on the card, but. Guess who was sitting upstairs?
Mm-hmm. John.
Everybody saw
him.
The last
by
Cena match.
In a hoodie up in the rafters.
The last Cena match in Winnipeg was Cena Jericho when we were there.
Yeah, where the crowd booed him.
Where Cena normally would take one AA to beat somebody, and it took him 8 to beat Jericho. Because Jericho was just like, fuck it, you're in Winnipeg, you got to work for it.
That's another argument there, though, the way Vince would never let Jericho win at home. That always pissed me off.
Yeah, that never made sense to me.
Well, when he replaced The Rock against Big Boss.
Oh, no, he won. He won that time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That was the only time I think he's ever won in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, when AEW eventually comes here, we need Jericho versus Omega.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That's it for sure. For sure.
If that match was an hour, even if that match was 15 minutes, the place would be loud the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would do about 30.
Yeah.
Jericho.
Say about 30.
You got to remember that Jericho's, not the spring chicken he was.
Yeah, Jericho's 50, but he could, if him and Omega went for half an hour,
He couldn't at least do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, probably, and this is kind of a sad way to finish your career, after his time in WCW kind of wound down and he became an agent for the younger fans, probably what Mr. Wonderful is most known for is beating the holy hell out of Vader in the locker room. You guys know this story?
I think so.
Maybe not entirely.
Yeah, refresh us, please.
When Vader was in his prime in WCW and Orndorff was getting up there in age, he was a lot older and not as big as Vader was, or Big Van Vader.
Another one, yeah.
That's really unfortunate. They apparently got into a scuffle and it turned to fisticuffs and Orndorff laid him out. Which is really kind of surprising because Vader was
twice his size,
big and bad. And like, nobody really wins a real fight. I understand that. Okay. But when I saw that, when I heard that, and I was like, holy shit, like, Orndorff's a real life badass.
You think of anyone?
Wasn't Vader kind of a, I don't like to use the word pussy, but in real life, he was a big, soft teddy bear type?
But he wasn't the best person to be around.
In the locker room, he wasn't necessarily the animal.
He threw his stature around, you know, not literally his weight though. Like, he wasn't the biggest badass.
But it's like, you think if Vader got into a legit fight with somebody, he'd kill
anyone. anyone. And
obviously,
to
took him
by
surprise completely.
I mean, I'm sure if it was Japan, it'd be a different story.
Yeah,
because his matches in Japan were like.
There's stuff
you think
legend.
The other dude would die because when he powerbombed that, fuck, I can't remember his name, powerbombed a dude and legit, like, he went to like drop him and the dude overturned and like back of his head and folded it. Like, like the guy didn't break his neck, thank God, but it's like that powerbomb looks like it sucked.
Yeah, then he goes to the WWF and he's, I'm a big fat piece of shit. And takes his mask off.
Oh no, I accidentally botched with Sean. Now I'm going to the mid card.
Yeah,
when Sean had his fucking ego bullshit.
That's how it worked back then.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. And you would think after he found God and all that good stuff, like, he would kind of turn into a decent person. Michaels?
No.
Not so much. Not so much.
Great performer, not a great guy.
Right. So, yeah, thank you, Mr. Wonderful, for everything that you contributed. And
yes,
it's a talent that's definitely will be remembered and missed. One of the things that I will never forget, after he turned heel, Heenan rehired Bobby Heenan as his manager. And every time Orndorff would come out, Heenan would be on the mic going, wonderful, 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 which that gave me the inspiration to start this episode. In case you guys were wondering where that came from.
Okay.
And all that. There's always a method to my madness.
Unfortunately, Heenan's gone too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's
well, Heenan's
that's
been
really
gone, what, two or three now?
Almost four, I think.
It's been a while. It's been longer than we thought.
I think Heenan's last tour was here.
Yeah, you have to remember the last year and a half has been a write off.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't count.
No.
Well, I think it's just about time to bring that bring the crazy train into the station here, because I think we want to get ready for tonight's pay-per-view.
Yeah, we got some burgers to barbecue.
There we go. Now you're talking. Jack,
and we got more
Jack
beers
Daniels
to drink.
And
yeah.
Beer and Jack and all that. So, yes, thank you so much, guys. And DJ, thank you so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely.
I kind of got roped into it.
Yeah.
You were coming here anyway.
You're coming here anyways. Yeah, no. Come on.
Well, we weren't going to make you sit upstairs. Yeah.
Right.
You can keep quiet.
We appreciate you.
We would just hear, you guys
your...
done yet?
We're out of beer.
Just hear a toilet flush randomly.
That's right. the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
Well, upstairs watching porn.
Oh, shit.
Hey, you leave my porn alone, okay?
That's it. It's all quiet during a party. You just hear, ah.
Yeah. We appreciate you coming down and lending us your experience and expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I might even do it again sometime.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you do just live down the street, so
there you go. There you go.
Stumbling distance.
Yep. And then the next AEW SummerSlam.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Oh jeez.
All right. Well, we're doing it again, boys.
There we go. There you go. How can people get a hold of us?
Well, people can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
Not right, radioactive wrestling.
Not radioactive wrestling Night in Canada.
That won't go anywhere.
No. And of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Come and check us out there and all of the awesome programming on this fine channel. It's predominantly a pro wrestling, but there's lots of pop culture as well, and a really cool music program as well.
I think you've mentioned it a couple of
times. I have already this episode.
Just in case.
Yes. Come down. If you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy with this program, just slide on over to the network as well. Check all of my goofiness that I have to say about the wonderful world of heavy metal as well on Radioactive Metal, our brother program.
Yeah.
This time I got it right.
This time, you don't owe us.
That's right. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
I'm out of here.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.